was charged in a single count information of theft of property with a value in excess of $1,500, class 3 felony under then existing law. The state charged this as an aggregated theft, meaning that it had evidence of a series of thefts that aggregated an amount in excess of $1,500. One of them did. He went to trial. He was convicted of essentially two the allegations that were set forth in a bill of particulars, that is, he exercised control over the salvaged parts of a Tahoe, and that although he alleged that that had been given to him by the owner of the property, I use that word loosely, because I think who would actually want the salvage carcass of the Tahoe, not known, but after he was given that, he traded somebody and just becomes a mess in terms of what that was all about. But then he was also, after Mr. Staba died, accused of taking a check that was from the sale of the proceeds of a trailer and converting it to his own use. And each of those were under $1,500, but aggregated to an amount in excess of $1,500. The issue in this case kind of grew from the question of when the state alleges an aggregate offense, and under the statute must allege that it's part of a single plan, a common scheme. What happens when the jury verdict comes in and says there wasn't a single course or common scheme? And my position is it evolved. There's no case law on this, no legislative history on this. There's really no discussion in the law as to how the allegation of common scheme squares with the concept of consolidation and severance, which was the law before. So if you had two class 4 felonies, you could charge them separately. You could then move to consolidate them. And if the court made findings that they were sufficiently common in their evidence, or the evidence of one would be admissible as pattern evidence in the other, you can consolidate them for trial. Or if they were tried together or charged together in a two-count information, the defendant could move to sever them if there were no sufficient showing of commonality, so that the prejudice would become apparent. We've all accepted the general proposition that we don't aggregate different offenses into one trial. It's just presumptively prejudicial to the defendant. It's reflected in the case law. It's reflected in the statutes. But the legislature creates this exception. It says on certain occasions, the prosecution can elect to pursue a theory that says this is all part of a common scheme. The defendant can say, well, I didn't do it, but whatever I did, it wasn't part of a common scheme.
So but we got is, to the is part of the common scheme, is that a element of either crime?
Yes, that's why I'm here. If the state elects to choose to prove that the single offense is the part of a common scheme that allows them to aggregate the penalty to increase it from a class 4 to a class 3, that's an Apprendi issue, the value and the elements of the offense must be established by the jury. So my argument to the trial court was a simple one. If the state wishes to pursue this, and I cannot sever a single count complaint or information, if the jury says that it's not part of a common scheme or plan, the verdict must be not guilty.
You said you cannot sever. Did you file something to try and sever?
Your Honor, the allegation, no, and I don't know what that would have been.
You can't sever a single count.
That's the problem.
And why couldn't you file a motion to quash?
On what basis?
On just your argument right here.
No, I can't move to quash something where the state says I'm going to prove it was part of a common plan or scheme. That's not a quash. There's nothing defective on the face of the information. The state could just as easily have prevailed. The little jury could have marked a box that said guilty of the Tahoe theft, guilty of the check, common scheme, class 3 felon.
Are you challenging the statute?
No, I don't know how I challenge the statute either.
Was there any advantage to the defendant to have two separate charges for class 4 felonies? Then he'd be convicted of, would that be two felony convictions then?
Well,
if he were convicted of both?
The logical extension of my argument would be it's just as odd to have the jury say he committed two thefts, which is one class 4 felony, as it is to say he would be not guilty but for the binding of the common scheme. But the problem here is,
if he's charged with stealing something less than $1,500, is that a felony?
Yes.
It's a class 4.
That's
But when you aggravate it and add on the other felony to aggravate it, or aggregate it, then you have a Class III felony.
Right.
So if you prove the common scheme.
It's a charging decision. I mean, it's not a challenge to the statute. It is the consequence to a prosecutor who decides that rather than go after two Class IV felonies, I'm going to try to make it something different. I'm going to try to make it a Class III felony. For whatever prosecutorial discretion exists, the prosecutor can decide to do that. Now, the
your argument, though, is that by making the aggregation decision, the prosecutor converted this into an element of the crime. That's your argument.
Yes, and if it fails, you can't say, well, it was close enough, we're going to find him guilty of the other offense, because there...
Now, you would agree with me, would you not, that there are many, many issues where Apprendi applies, but they aren't elements of a particular crime. There are many things that are sentencing enhancements to which the jury must find a predicate fact in order for that sentence to be enhanced, but they have nothing to do with the elements of the crime.
That's probably a mystical distinction that I can't make. I think it's an element of the offense.
I'm not talking about this one yet. I'm just making...
I think that's probably true, Judge, yes.
Okay.
But in federal court, for example, if they want to go after a statutory minimum, they have to allege in the indictment and prove to the jury 50 grams or more of the drug. The actual drug could be significantly higher, but they have to have it in the information and they have to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt to the jury to invoke that.
The jury has to find a fact, a certain fact.
So just because something is an Apprendi fact doesn't necessarily mean it's an element of the crime. You started out your argument by making, this is Apprendi, therefore, I want to be clear, I don't agree with that, this is Apprendi, therefore, but I'm still listening to the part of the argument that this was an element of the crime because, and that's, I want to be clear on that.
Well, because ordinarily, we can't try unrelated offenses together. The rules that say it's unfair to do that is based upon the theory that the evidence of one case would not be admissible in the other case, and it would therefore confuse the jury and prejudice the defendant. Otherwise, you could say you robbed a bank, you stole a car, you wrote a bad check, just aggregate them all together, have one big trial for all these offenses. The statutes basically safeguard against the prejudice that would come from that. Probably unconstitutional to do that. Violates fundamental due process.
In order to aggregate, you have to prove a common scheme.
Correct. And in this case, the problem becomes manifest in the sense that the jury makes the declaration, which I think was clear. These were not two offenses that were committed as part of a common scheme. They were distant in time, circumstance.
Counsel, would you agree with the case law from this court that although value is an essential element of a crime, no particular value has to be proved?
Yes, I agree with it.
So any intrinsic value... Your client, if they find your client all the other elements, any intrinsic value would generate a theft conviction, correct?
But not a Class 4 felony.
I agree. But why isn't, you're claiming that one scheme or course of conduct in your brief is a material element. How is it any different than just being a grading factor?
Because when you are, the net effect of what happened here is the state got to try two unrelated cases together with the defendant having no opportunity to sever or argue prejudice that would attend if it was determined that they weren't part of the common scheme.
You correct me if I'm wrong, but as I hear you argue today, it's not so much that the judge missed the boat on the one scheme being a material element, you're concerned about the prejudice attached to combining these two crimes. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, because they are inextricably linked. The verdict should have been not guilty. That's clearly my position. The jury found a fact favorable to the defendant on an element of the offense, I submit, that this was not part of a common scheme. Now, you turn to the prosecutor and you say, what should happen? And the answer is not guilty. You made a charging decision. You failed in your proof. This is not a sentencing factor. This is an element of the offense. And it's proven by the paradox of the verdict. I know I'm arguing against my own position, but This should have either been two Class 4 felonies that he was found guilty of, either as a result of separate trials or one properly consolidated trial, or it should have been not guilty. This whole fiction that there was only one offense. In my brief, I discussed the prejudice, why this case was complicated by the fact that once you don't give the jury the not guilty verdict option, you've got the sufficiency of the evidence argument that we made on the Tahoe that kind of complicates things. So in the end, I think the simple rule is the easiest rule. If the prosecution goes down this road, Your Honor, they suffer the risk of non-conviction. It's just that simple. Thank you. I have no time.
Thank you very much. Mr. Love, good morning again.
Good morning, Your Honor.
The Appalachian State of Nebraska. Your Honors, I was discussing this case with one of my colleagues in the office the other day, and who's obviously a better researcher than I am, but they found a case, she found a case, State v. Atterton, and I did show this to Krieger prior to the hearing today. It's State v. Atterton, 81 Washington Appellate 470. They were faced with somewhat the same decision as this court is today. And basically, the state had aggregated
how old the case is, though?
That's a 1996 case.
81 Washington 70?
Yeah. 81 Washington Appellate 470 Atterton. Oh. A-T-T-E-R-T-O-N. And in that case, again, the prosecution aggregated eight thefts into one in order to reach the magic $1,500 limit.
Did they have a same language in the statute?
The
common
statute
scheme?
Is similar, but they're a little harsher in terms of how they approached the common plan or scheme. They say the statute, they say, evolves out of common law, and you can only have one victim. I suppose you could argue Highmark was the one victim in this particular case. But they do have a aggregation statute, just like we do. A point being is that the trial court found at least two second-degree thefts and a third-degree theft. On appeal, challenge under sufficiency of the evidence, and the court said, because the state charged Atterton with only one count, we direct the trial court to enter judgment and sentence for one count of second-degree theft, i.e. one count of a lesser included. And that's kind of what happened in this case. Obviously, I don't agree with Mr. Krieger that the aggregation is an element of the offense. I think it's certainly a charging decision. I think that there has to be some evidence of a common plan and scheme.
But don't you have to add the amounts to get to the Class 3 felony?
That's correct.
And so you have to show that one felony was committed for $800 and one felony was committed for $750. That gives you over the $1,500 requirement. But if these felonies are totally unrelated, how do you aggregate those crimes simply because they were committed by the same person?
The jury found on the verdict form they were not part of a common plan or scheme. The fact that they are not part of a common plan scheme does not follow that no theft occurred.
Well, I understand that, but the question is, can you aggravate these two felonies to make them Class 3 when they weren't connected?
Well, the answer is that was a charging decision, which was obviously the jury didn't agree with.
Did the jury get a lesser included charge?
No. Jury found.
I haven't looked at the jury verdict form. What did it look like?
It's at T10 in the transcript, Your Honor. I don't know what else to tell you, but basically it asked the jury to find him guilty or not guilty of theft, and then it asked the value, and it found the value at $1,250 on the check. The combine was converted to a check, which the appellant put in his banking account without permission. Then the Tahoe was found to be $750, and at the very bottom of the verdict form it says words to the effect, you find this to be a common plan or scheme? And the answer by the jury was no. So the two thefts, that they're basically what you've done by a jury verdict saying there wasn't a common plan or scheme, is you've severed the offense. There's two offenses now. But because the state charged one theft, and the value of that theft is only the gradation or degree of punishment that you may inherit, or inherit, is one count was charged, or you can only be convicted of one count, a lesser included count, if you like. A class 4 felony versus a class 3 felony. The other 4 felony falls aside. Now, I don't really have an answer for it. Somehow that feels exactly right, because it seems like double jeopardy would bar conviction on two separate accounts where you're only charged initially with one.
Well, that's where you get the non-guilty verdict, don't you? If you're trying to aggravate two separate felonies, they have to be connected in some manner, don't they, in order to add them together? There has to be a justification for adding the amounts together that combined commits a third class 3 felony.
And if you look at
But if they're not connected, the jury says these aren't connected.
The jury said that. I agree.
So how can you then say I've been convicted of a class 3 felony?
Let's start at the beginning.
Well, you're not saying that he's been convicted of a class 3. You're saying he's been convicted of a class 4.
That's correct. Lesser included.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. And the second class 4, if you like, the $750 count, falls away.
Because was the jury form a proper jury form? Where did this come from?
I've never seen one like it. So I don't know. But I think it was. I think it was for several reasons. It asked the jury to determine the value based upon the evidence presented of the two items, the combine trailer, which was converted to money and deposited in his account, and
under your theory, shouldn't there have been some kind of lesser included offense?
If you're going to aggravate the offense, and the proof, if the common scheme fails, it seems to me you automatically go to one lesser included. And that's based on the jeopardy principle.
Shouldn't that have been on the jury form?
Well, in essence it was, because they found him guilty of both, neither of which was a class 3 felony. See, it's the gradation of the offenses, the money. Not the fact that a theft occurred or didn't occur. The money just says it's a 1 misdemeanor, it's a 4 felony, it's a 3 felony. That's all that does.
What would the... I'm sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead.
If one of the thefts that had been proven was a class 1 misdemeanor and the other was a class 4 felony, what would the court pick?
I think the court would have to pick...
And by what rule?
The lesser included, and that would be the class 1. It would depend on the value, okay? The value, I think that he's charged with one count of theft, and I think he's going to have to pick the lesser one. Because the benefit goes to the defendant in that case when the aggravation...
So that would be the class 1 misdemeanor in that example, right?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
That would be the class 1 misdemeanor.
Yes. I think they would have to pick the class 1 misdemeanor. In this case, you had two class 4.
Getting back to the Washington appellate case, did they discuss in that case whether a common scheme was an element of the crime?
They did not know. The answer is no. They just flat said it. It was not a common plan or scheme. They didn't go into any analysis to why not, other than the fact to say that there was more than one victim. What he did is he got a bunch of different checks from people and from different victims aggregated and deposited in his account.
Would you tell me one more time why he's charged with a class 3 felony and the jury finds that these two felonies he's committed are not part of a common scheme, that you can aggregate those two felonies to enhance the penalty to a class 3?
Because the statute permits the prosecution, if they show a common plan or scheme.
They did not.
We have to begin at the beginning, not come to the end. Permits the prosecution to make a decision on whether or not that was a common plan. And as you're sitting there as a prosecutor, you're saying, these two items were taken from Highmark Towing, I believe, company. And they were taken at two various periods of time by the same person. Yeah, there's some merit to aggregate, at least as a charging decision. But then you fail in your common plan or scheme. Well, what have you left? You have the gradation of the offense by statute. In other words, the value determines punishment. You were stuck with your pleading in the sense that you charged only one count of theft. You can't convict him of two. So you're stuck with that. You give him one lesser included. I'm out of time, unless there are any further questions. But ask that you affirm that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there any time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal. We will go on then to the next case of the day, which is State versus Joshua D. Carr. Justice Stacy is recused from this matter.